IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, and my guest speaker, Sister Asma, and Sayyid Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Asma, welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam, thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Well, and Sayyid Abdullah, thank you for accepting our invitation to come to the studio again, and assalamu alaikum to you too.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's always a pleasure being here.
It's a pleasure. Well, it's a couple of episodes that we have started, in fact, criticizing the movie Jinn, produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmad. And let's take a short listen to a part of this movie where actually I found a question about, and then we'll talk about it later after this break. Stay with us. Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma, my guest speakers in this program, talking about the very controversial issue of genies. Well, we focus on the movie Jinn, 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmad. And you just listened to a part where there are a couple of verses from the Holy Quran being, in fact, played again and again by the, you know, major actor in this movie, and you hear "A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim," yes, repeatedly, you know, and these are the recurrent themes of, some sort of cantation or a spell or something like that to guard off and ward off the demon or the Satan and the shayateen, you know, and the actual translation, if somebody doesn't know it, we say it here: God protect me from Satan, the damned or the outcast, one, or in the name of God, the gracious, the merciful. Of course, this is a very rough translation of it. But my question to you, Sister Asma, is that does it really work if somebody encounters such phenomena? As we call genes or any kind of supernatural stuff like that, you know, whether some people believe it or not, but this is what a lot of people, especially we Muslims, say that
do believe in that.
Yeah, it's very much documented in the Quran, but we have lots of evidences for this, you know, because
ever since we're a kid, our parents teach us, when you go into darkness, try to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-Rajim. So that's a common thing, I think. We, as Muslim people...
Does it only work on, like, to prevent us from, like, fearing or to being scared, like, of... For example, such thing as darkness or whatever comes with the territory
of course, the darkness. That would soothe your fear. And at the same time, God is your protector. When you are asking him to protect you, he would be always there for you. So using those verses, as you just mentioned, is just going to work like a shield for you. And you will make sure that there is a greater power who's watching after you. And then, as I told you, it's going to soothe you mentally. And at the very same time, you make sure that there is a greater power who's going to help you. And it's not like you just call him and he would stay doing nothing. He would be there for you and he would protect you from all the bad things, all the evil things that might happen to you in the
but,
process.
But does it work like just immediately as you say it, or like it also depends on several factors, such as, for example, the purity of the heart, the purity of the person, and so on and so forth. Or anybody, even without being a Muslim, can recite, for example, such spells.
I do believe that even if you don't use these exact verse, though as a Muslim I use them myself, but it depends on the amount of belief and creed you have in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
The purer your heart is, no matter how you call Allah, he would be there for you and he would help you. So it's not just a matter of words, though these words are from the holy book and we know they have their own effect. But there are some pure people who would call God by whatever name they like and however language they use. And we see that God is always there for them.
I see. Thank you very much. Before I ask Sayyid Abdullah a question, quite along with this, let's say, theme and concept of like having a kind of recitation of a specific verse from the Holy Scriptures, whether it is the Quran or let's say the Bible. Let's take a short listen to another part of this movie, Jinn, produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmed, and then we'll be back and ask the question. Don't go away. Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. We are focusing on criticizing the movie Jinn, produced in 2014 and directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmed. And along with me sitting in the studio, Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah. Sayyid Abdullah, in that part, there is a person called Ali, right? He's reciting chapter people.
He was the uncle.
Yes, he was the uncle of the...
The main character.
The main character, yes. And he's reciting chapter people. What's the philosophy behind it, Sayyid Abdullah? You know, we also see the Christian priest who, you know, reads some of the Latin phrases, probably from their holy scripture, the Bible, right? Why so many languages? Why Latin? Why Arabic? Can't we say them like in, for example, whatever language we speak in?
The whole idea is that you speak it in whatever language you have. So, for example, when you talk about Christianity, even like the actual, I mean, scripture of Christianity wasn't, it was Aramaic. It wasn't...
Aramaic.
It wasn't like Jewish or it wasn't even Latin.
Yes, exactly.
You know what I mean? But the idea is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends prophets, even in the Quran, he said he sent them with the lisan of their qawm, with the tongue of their own people. So it doesn't matter whether you recite the spell in English or Aramaic or...
Jewish.
With Jewish or with even, or even, you know, Whatever language you recite it on, it will take effect because that's how it works. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, when the Quran was revealed, it was revealed for the Arabs.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that if a Christian, for example, and then a Christian who wants to use the same thing in his own language, it's not going to work. No, it's actually, it will work. So regardless, as for why he was reciting a sort of Nas, diverse voiced people, is because these two, Nas and Al-Falaq, they were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a form of protection, right? Because it mentions jinn.
So that's the philosophy behind it.
Yeah. So it mentions the jinn. It mentions the human being. It mentions the human, the demons of the humans. It mentions an-nafathat, which is pretty much the sorcerers, and mentions the night and mentions the spells.
Mm-hmm.
So these two chapters.
Why the night?
Well, usually because sorcerers do their magic at night. Uh-huh. They don't do
the setting thing. Behind all those sort of movies is at night, and yeah. there's always a candle. There's always like twilight, something.
Yeah,
like
because
that.
This is the reality. The reality is that when it comes to summoning these kind of things, usually it works out during the nighttime, not during the daytime. So even Allah Subhanahu wa Taala submits to the fact and says nafathati fil uqul, which is they do it, they tie their knots and their. So yeah. these two chapters was revealed, yeah, as a protection for the Prophet yeah. sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To the extent some of the mufassirin, like Ibn Mas'ud, he said it's not actually part of the Quran. It's rather a talsim, like a ta'weed.
Oh yeah,
right. He said it's not part of the Quran. It's because he said it was revealed for the Prophet to give it to Hassan and Hussein to protect them from jinn and stuff like that. But the reality is even the sabab al-nuzul, the reason for revelation, it was because a magician lady done some sahr for the Prophet and he got sick as a,
oh,
the
as a Prophet. Result.
So he sent Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said, go to this place, in this well, you'll find something, you know, done for me, bring it and then they broke the kind of magic. So these two verses, they deliberately deal with this issue. And that's why in the movie you see them reciting these verses.
I see. And the question that I asked Sister Asma before the break, should there be any kind of purity with the person? We also see this, for example, in the Christian movies when, you also criticize, I think, the movie Exorcist, you know,
yeah.
if you remember.
Yeah.
There we had a priest. There's always this recurrent theme coming up, you know, in these kinds of movies, especially the Hollywood movies we're focusing on, you know, that there is the priest reading these Latin phrases or these yeah. phrases from the Bible, you know, mm-hmm. and nobody else, like a layman, cannot do that.
Is it always like this? It needs a holy man.
Yeah.
So it does at times because the only reason they bring a holy man in between is because it's their job, right? So if, for example, if I want to go to someone who can do these things, I would go to someone who knows the Quran, for example, knows the ins and outs, he knows how the Quran is used and what kind of verses are used for what, because you know even the Quran says fihi shifa, right? There's a cure in the Quran. So I can't just pick up any part of the Quran and say, okay, this is my cure. Well, if you go to the experts, they will say, okay, recite this verse that much time at this time of the day,
yeah.
and it will take effect. Because they're the experts.
Well, we do have the experts, for example, in our world, like in the Islamic world, you see, for example, the Quran, it's which we call it the philosophy behind it, or its place, or its time of, for example, revelation, and all the rest of it. And we also have a very large, you know, legacy of let's say, traditions and narrations, you know, going along with it, you know. Yeah. And we have the narrators, the chain of narrators, and we have all sorts of things like to either endorse, for example, that or to give it in a kind of combination, for example, mm-hmm. just like a combination like to unlock, you know. Yeah. But do we have the same thing in other religions such as the Christians or in Christianity?
Yes, they do.
Whether they read, for example, those specific parts, although we know that they don't have that kind of like hadith corpus.
So with the Christianity and Judaism, they do have the same thing, right? But it's not like same with us. For example, if you remember the movie The Exorcism or The Exorcist, when it first came out, what the actual priest was reading in the movie, it was the actual pass that was used for exorcism.
Yes.
Because they do believe in it, and it worked.
Yes.
And it works. And it says in one of the theaters, half of the people started vomiting once they were hearing these verses. It was actually taking effect on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like showing on their bodies as well. So yeah, it works. It doesn't matter in what language you do it. It works because even though Allah talks about Sulaiman and how Sulaiman used the jinn for his own.
Yes.
And he had all the books written.
Yes.
And back in the day, Sulaiman wasn't speaking Arabic, was he? And the books that he had, well, they weren't Arabic, were they? So yeah, and the Kabbalah, the Jews, they use
Kabbalah
for the jinn. So it's not Arabic. So they do take effect, regardless of what language they are.
Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. Thank you very much, Sister Asma, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. In this specific episode, we focus on the movie Jinn, produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmad. Of course, we haven't come to the end of the critique of this movie, and we have a couple of more episodes, I guess, devoted to the criticizing this movie. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.